Before I do anything, I just want to express a word of gratitude to Jonah and Allie. What I appreciate you so much is about how you're willing to blend in with who we are. You're fairly new here, but you're blending in well. And the kind of songs that you lead us in range from something new and challenging for us, to familiar praise songs, to even a classic hymn like this. So thank you for leading us in worship. And if anybody else wants to thank, let's just thank them now. So, yeah. Okay, we're going to be continuing in a series in Philippians. And last time we saw about how Paul addresses what are some perceived problems. One perceived problem is he's imprisoned. He's under arrest. And some people would say that's a problem because you can't do anything. And actually he says, ooh, a lot more is happening because I'm here. God wanted it that way. And another perceived problem was there's other church leaders that are jealous of him and try to steal people away from him. But he says, that's not a problem either, because at least they're hearing the gospel. They're getting to know God through Jesus Christ. And he finishes that section by saying, I can even rejoice, be happy. Okay? Now we're going to continue on in a similar vein, but kind of expand a little bit on a particular area here. And I'm going to just read this, Philippians 1, verses 19 through 26. If you have a Bible in front of you, we're going to actually begin a little bit into verse 18, where it begins with, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yet if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me. Okay, to get oriented here, what I'd like to do is to do something that we've done with our grandchildren, and I'm going to do it with you now, and that is to play a matching game. Little kids love to play this matching game. You know, you get a whole bunch of cards that are upside down and then flip them over, okay, try to match them, and so on. Okay, we're going to go through a real simple exercise here, and why don't we get that first slide up here, and this is... are we able to get it? Okay, yeah, okay. It's a very simple one. These are matching opposites, okay? Why don't you just fill in the word when I say the first one? High and hot and wild and tame, okay. Rich and day, old and life and death, okay. Life and death is what we're going to pick up on that today. Now, a question. Opposites. Life. Death. Is it possible to want both at the same time? And if it's possible, is that healthy? Is that good? Well, I submit to you that if you're a Christian, yes, it is healthy to want both at the same time. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this passage here today. The context is that Paul anticipates being freed from arrest. Not sure if he's in an actual dungeon prison or if he's under house arrest. The context, many believe, is that he had appealed to Caesar because some wanted to have him executed, but he appeals to Caesar, which he can do as a Roman citizen. He's had his hearing, either by Caesar himself or by a representative, and now he's waiting to hear the verdict. Is he going to be executed, or is he going to be freed? And we look at verse 19, and in verse 19 he says, For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And, I forgot to mention, if anybody needs an outline, I asked Rich to, anybody need an outline of this morning's message, raise your hand. Ooh, I'm impressed. Okay, good. All right. I think the first blank there is Paul anticipates being freed from death row. And so that sounds good. Good news. Philippians say, well, Paul, good. But as you read what Paul is writing to them, he's just a tad disappointed. How can that be? All right, let's flesh this out a little bit. All right. Wouldn't Paul or anybody want this option, if you had a fork in the road, to live or to die? Wouldn't you want to live? After all, we have a lot to live for. And so what do you have to live for? I wrote down six things that you can look forward to living for, different aspects to life. If you want to, you can jot those down on the backside of the outline. I put down six aspects to living. One is biotic life. Eating. By the way, I heard that after the service this morning, there's some goodies that are available. And you better get to them before I do. I just like to chow down. And I have to be careful with that. But that's part of living. Just enjoy eating, drinking. Going out and feeling the fresh air, exercising, intimacy, biotic life. That's a lot to live for. Second one is social life. Family, friends, colleagues, people you just enjoy being around. That's a good reason to keep living. Another one, I didn't know what to call it. I just call it the full life. Learning. Some people just love to learn all the time. Exploring. Traveling. All kinds of things. Okay, most anybody can identify with that. Living. Now there's three aspects to life of living that I believe only Christians can experience. So number four for me is new life. What does that mean? If you're a Christian, this means God the Holy Spirit has come inside you and given you a new heart. If you're like the Germanic phrase, it means being born again. If you like the Latin phrase, it's regeneration. You have a new heart. You have a whole new outlook on life. You know God. You know what life is all about. That's the new life. And, fifth one, eternal life. If you're a Christian, you can look forward to eternal life. The glory of being a brand new creature and spending that eternity in glory where you will see God, et cetera, et cetera. And we're told in Scripture, you can start that now. And then the sixth one is what Peter mentions in the Bible. Fascinating. Divine life. Peter says we will participate in the divine nature. What that means, that could be expanded on, but something of God is infused into us so that we participate in the divine nature. Okay, we are all made to live. There's a lot to look forward to living, and what is unique for a Christian is what Paul mentions in verse 21 and into verse 22. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Okay. For Paul, what is the thing about living that he wants to be most excited about? To live is Christ. I have a reason to live. I belong to Christ. He's the one that's gripped me, that's taken me, that's made me new. I don't have to flounder in life. I don't have to wonder why I'm here or what my purpose is. It's for him. Okay, that's what it means for him. Also, that there will be fruitful labor for me. I think in the blanks there, I put the abundant life. I didn't know what else to say. Life is abundant. He just doesn't exist. He has a meaning and purpose. And have you ever visited people, elderly people in a nursing home? If you do so, and you do it regularly, this will come up once in a while. I feel useless. I'm just here. I'm just a drain on everybody. I wish I weren't here anymore. There's no reason for me to keep on living. Well, what do you say to that? Well, maybe I'll get there someday where I'm feeble. Everybody else has to help me, and I can't help anybody else. And I feel useless. Will a young minister have to come to me and tell me what I've told others? Christ has a reason for you to live. He wants you to be here. If for nothing else, you are a presence in our lives, which is a gift. And please, could you also pray for me? There is a reason and a purpose for you to live. Okay, living. It's natural. And yet, what did Paul say? To die? There's something attractive about death, too. What can be attractive about dying? Maybe one word, freedom. Freedom. If you're to die, then my mind gets going. And I think of a lot of things that we could be freed from. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ooh, I hope this isn't too much. I'll go through it quickly. If you're to die, for those of you who struggle with depression and sadness, if you go to that realm of the dead, you're free. I haven't had that struggle. There's times where I'm kind of down, but I've never gone through clinical depression. If you struggle with that, you're going to be freed. Another one is addictions. Everybody has a little bit of a kind of addictions, but there's this love-hate relationship, whether it be a chemical substance, whether it be pornography, whether it be an addiction to work or something like that. You just can't stop yourself. You hate it, but you long for it. You die and you're free. Another thing you can be free from: physical pain or a body that's just wearing out. It's very hard for me. I'm a baby when it comes to pain. I get a little pain, I'm popping Tylenol and ibuprofen right away. But there are some people that live with pain all the time. Death frees you from that. Shame and guilt. Depending on the culture you were raised in or the home you were raised in, some experience that more than others. Shame and guilt. Freedom. Another is fear or worry. Fretting about what's going to happen in the future, and especially those living in war-torn countries. Fear and anxiety about the future. Another thing to be freed from: rejection, abandonment, feeling like a failure. That's gone. And of course, then there's the stress and responsibilities. Okay, you could go on and go on. There's something attractive about dying. But for Christians, there's something else. We're going to go to the next slide now. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, says Paul. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. What for Paul is attractive about dying? Not just freedom, but it's Christ himself. Paul, who even had glimpses of Christ on the throne when he was here on earth, gets to go into glory and see Christ on the throne, the one who loves him, that has embraced him, yet to see him. For a Christian going through death, they can look forward to being with Christ, and that's that blank there. It's better by far. I'll take a poll here a minute. Has anybody here ever gone either bungee jumping or gone on a parachute, flying in a flip? Anybody? Ooh, there's a couple of you. I haven't. And I'm not sure if I'm reaching a stage of life where I can't do that anymore, but what I've heard secondhand about that is it's exciting. It's a little scary because you're in free fall for a little while, and that adrenaline rush goes through your system. It's scary, but thrilling at the same time. Look at that door of death. You go through it. It's a bit scary. But for a Christian, there's also that thrill of going through there because it's going to be good. You just know it. Scary but thrilling. But on the other side, isn't just joy, light, and peace of heaven, but your Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, Paul is here. He says there's a fork in the road. I'm going to either live or I'm going to die. He says if I keep on living, there's a lot to do. Verse 22. He says, if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. Fruitful labor? I can imagine Paul. I think we could connect. I've got my list of things to do for today. I'm a lists man. I've got my things to do. Paul is anticipating, I'm going to live. I've got my things to do. In fact, he has plans to go to Spain. And he anticipates there's lots of things to do. And if we go on to the verses 24 and 25, he says, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith." He's going to go and visit the Philippians. "Hi, how are you?" Do all the hugs and just build them up and encourage them. And we're just going to be happy together. Lots of things to do while he's living. But there's something else over here. The other option is that he could go through the process of death. Verses 21 and 22 again. "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know." That would be better, actually. Over the years as a pastor, I've had the privilege to be with people in the closing days of their lives. And many get hospice care. One of the best options that people can have, a great organization, is to have hospice care. And I went visited people when they were getting towards the end. And a couple times I've been in situations where people have gotten this close to the end. And those of you who know about this and have had experience with it, you know what I'm talking about, where physically the functions of their body just start shutting down. And they even get to the point of that certain kind of breathing right towards the end. And then once in a great while, that process stops and reverses. They come back. They revive. And it's almost disorienting for them. And I've asked hospice experts, this is something I perceived. Is it true that those who get close to death but aren't there yet and come back, is that disappointing for them? They said, "Oh, yeah, very disappointing, because they're all prepared. They're all ready for dying. They've made their arrangements. They're ready for it, and they're about to go through it." But then they come back. A bit of a disappointment for Paul, too. He's this close. He's about ready to go into that thrilling ride, that final ride, to go through death. But just a tad bit of disappointment. The tension to live, to die. If you're a mature Christian, and here's the next blank, you can want both. And I've tested this with people. When I taught high school classes about the Christian faith, and we get to the part where we talk about Jesus Christ, he's gone to heaven, and Jesus Christ is going to come back again. And I ask, "Are you looking forward to that?" They say, "Well, yes." And if they're younger, they say, "Yeah, that'll be nice. But could he just wait a little bit? Because we want to grow up. We want to get married. We want to have kids. We want to have a family. There's lots of things for us to do." "Yeah, we look forward to him coming back." For those that are older, it's almost like they can hardly stop thinking about it. They said, "Oh, it would be great if Jesus came back right now, or if he would just take me into glory right now. Yeah, I want to live for my family." Okay. If you're a Christian, young or old, you want both. Let me just pause here for just a minute. I want to briefly mention what can be unhealthy. Unhealthy is if you only want one or the other. It can be very unhealthy if all you want is to live. What does that look like? One of the ways it looks like is, do you have a will? There are some people that I've felt duty-bound, especially if there's a young family that has children, that have been duty-bound to ask them, do you have a will? Who's going to take care of your kids? What's going to happen? And so on. And once in a while I have it where people say, nope, I don't have a will. I don't need a will. I'm just going to keep on living. They don't like to think about it. They just put it out of their lives. All they want to do is focus on living. That's not healthy. Because you need to know that the grip of death, the fear of death, has been conquered in Jesus Christ. He's taken away that hold on us. We need to see the victory we have in life and in death. But let me also suggest that if you only want to die, that too is unhealthy. Like I said, if you feel like you have no purpose, Christ does have a purpose for you. You need to see that there is life in Christ right now, too. Wanting to live, wanting to die, holding those in balance can be very healthy. Okay. Verses 21 and 23 again. Here's where we're going to kind of land on what is central to this. Verse 21 and 23. By the way, my role this morning isn't just to provide a semi-counseling session for you. I have something more important to do for you today. Verse 21 and 23 again. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm torn between the two. I did desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. When Paul is saying, I want to live and I want to die, is he being schizophrenic? No. Both of these opposites have one thing in common. That is Jesus Christ. He's anchored in Jesus Christ. I'm living for him, serving him. I'm going to die. I'm going to go be with him. Our anchor is Jesus Christ. That's why we can freely do the option to live or to die. Either one's a good option, because either one, I'm glorifying Christ. I belong to him. He has a hold of me. If my life is given totally to Jesus Christ, I can joyfully live and I can joyfully die. These songs that we sang this morning, almost everyone except the new one, I kind of get choked up with them, and I can't sing them all. That's why I'm glad you all are singing up here, because I can't sing it all. And I get choked up with the one that I grew up with, My Jesus, I Love Thee. When's the last time that during your quiet time, and I don't know where your quiet place is, perhaps your quiet place is in your bedroom all alone at night before you go to sleep. Maybe your quiet place is in the car going from here to there, or just taking a walk. wherever your quiet place or your quiet time is, could I suggest that then one of the next times you do it is you just look to Jesus. Turn your heart to him. And just say, Lord, I'm yours. You're mine. I want to live for you. I want to die in you. And just embrace your Lord Jesus again. And if you embrace Jesus and you belong to him, you can go forward, going either way, life or death, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. A Christian can say both are good. Let us pray. How we thank you, O God, that you've embraced us. And, O Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can belong to you, that we can live for you, and that you hold on to us no matter what happens in life or in death. We thank you that we can belong to you. In your name we pray. Amen.